Bibles open up to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 6. Okay, tonight we're going to look at a sermon entitled, First Things First. First Things First. We've been doing a little bit of research about that word first and some different things in the Bible, and I think there's, if we learn to put the first things first, you know what's going to happen? Everything else is going to fall in line. You say, what does that phrase, first things first, mean? It means that you prioritize the right thing above other things. You do things in proper order. You not skip things and the things that you should do first. And I was looking, there's a number of different things they give you as examples, things you should do first. One of the things was, if you're working on wiring, what should you do first? Turn the current, the power off. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you want to eat a steak, what should you do first? You should cook it, or you can even say you should buy it first before you eat it. But cooking it, most of us will, I've seen some people's steaks look like they haven't been cooked. So if I want to go outside with my friends, I should make sure my homework's done first. Right, kids? Yeah, sure, why not? So there's all different type of things that we should have in the proper order. And when you put things in the proper order, you know what's going to happen? God's going to be able to bless it. And that's when you see in Matthew chapter number 6, it's a famous verse, but we're going to look at some different firsts in the Bible. And we're going to start off with this point, seek ye first. But we're not going to go just to verse chapter 6, verse 33, which most of would say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Instead, we're going to start off where I think the verse, actually it's the Sermon on the Mount, so it's a long passage, but we're going to go to verse 24, where I think there's a new point that he's making. He kind of goes through this. So, what should come first in our life? This morning, if you were here in Sunday school, we talked about how God gave someone a little bit of space in the hope that they were going to repent. And then on Sunday morning, we talked about the importance of understanding our greatest need and about crying out to God and realizing that a relationship with God is our greatest need. So how do we make those things happen? How do we make sure that we're right? And how do we make sure that we're doing what God's called us to do to bring our families and help bring our country, all those different things? It's nice to preach about. It's easy to preach about, but it's so hard to live. So how does that happen? And I think it's by making first things first. Let's go ahead and start here in Matthew chapter number 6. We're going to go ahead and start in verse number 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So this is one of those verses that we agree is true, we agree it's right because it's in the Bible, but we don't always live our life like that. We try many times to separate God and say, I can serve God and I can serve this world too. I can have God and I can have just as much of an affection of the things of this world. As we looked at this morning and tried to understand, the reason why people do not surrender like they should is because they do not see how God's going to work it out in the end. They don't see how God's going to meet thy financial need. They don't see how God's going to make that relationship get mended. They don't see so many different things. We don't live by faith. It's because we live by sight so much that instead of trusting the Lord with all our heart and leaning not onto our own understandings, you know what we do? We want to get involved and we want to do what we want to do instead of crying out to God and saying, God, here's my life. Use it for whatever way you want. So here in this passage of scripture, you might say, well, I'm not serving money. And that's where the mammon, the kind of the idea of mammon going on. But you continue on reading. He begins talking about some of the most simple, basic things of life. He says, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. It doesn't say take some thought. It says take no thought for your life. Why? It's because you're surrendered to God. He'll take care of your life. No thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? So he's saying that should not be a thriving factor in your life. These are things that God knows you need and God will provide. It continues on. And it says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, and nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Doesn't mean that we get to be lazy. What it's saying there is God takes care of those that cannot sow and reap, and we can sow and reap. And as we are doing what God's called us to do, you know what's going to happen? The Lord's going to take care of us. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? Anybody ever wanted to be taller? Anybody got one in here? I know for a certain point in time, a couple in here. There you go. Some people are a couple more. That's great. There's, you know, if you think about it, you know what's going to happen? Nothing. You know, you can't do anything about it. Sometimes we feel like we can control things if we worry about it, if we're anxious. And that's why it's saying take no thought. It's saying don't be anxious about these things. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? It's just not going to happen. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I think what he's saying here is imagine the majestic look that Solomon had. And it turns around, he says, look, the lilies are just as beautiful. And I know many times ladies enjoy, and some guys like figuring out what they're going to wear. I hear this, hey, what should I wear? I don't know what I'm going to wear. And it's okay, but it's not what you should be seeking after. It should not be what the highest priority is in your life. And it's saying here, why take ye thought? Why is that such a big thing in your life when you're not putting first things first? Let's keep on going. Verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now, look what it says in verse 32. He says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now, I think we should look the nicest we can. I don't think there's anything wrong with having clothes. I think the Bible talks about being clothed and having enough clothes on. But at the same time, he's saying the Gentiles are ones that put an emphasis on this. That's what they're living for. They're living for things such as physical things like raiment and food. And we could put a lot more things on that list besides just raiment and food. There's what are we serving? What we put first in our life, that's what we're serving. And God's saying, hey, remember this, you're not going to be able to serve two things. Either something has the first place in your life or I have the first place in your life. You're not going to serve these two masters because after a while, it's going to make it to where you love one and you hate the other and where you hold to the one and you despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, and that God kind of gets in the way when we are trying to do what we want with our life. Continue on in verse 32, it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Isn't that wonderful? He's saying you don't have to worry about the food. You don't have to worry about the raiment. You don't have to put an emphasis on these physical things. God knows you need it already. God knows that you need it already. You ever had a young person or child that was excited about something and kept on asking, hey, are we going to do this? Are we going to do this? And they become a little bit annoying because you know that, yes, we're going to do that. Just wait. Yes, I know you need food. I know you need to go somewhere. I know this. I know that. But they're worried. They're concerned. And it's what's consuming them. Is it time yet? Is it time yet? You know, if we would learn to trust God and say, okay, God knows I have needs over here. And as I am putting God first in my life, as I seek the kingdom of God first, he's going to supply these other needs. Look what it says in verse 33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So if you have God first in his kingdom, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. And we'll just kind of, instead of getting deep into what the kingdom of God is, we're going to put God's purpose and plan, furthering the kingdom of God, what God's purpose is for our life, and his righteousness. So in my life, if I put God first and I seek after doing those things which are going to please him, which is going to further his kingdom, and I seek to the righteousness of God. What are we talking about by the righteousness of God? We'll just use character of God. to become like him. Now, once again, we're not going to ever achieve that, but that's what our desire should be, to become more and more like Christ, to have the mind of Christ. So what the Bible is saying here, and it's a wonderful thought here, if I'm willing to put God's work first, and if I'm seeking to become more like him in the righteousness of God and the character of God, God's going to provide all those other things that people worry about, all those other things God puts it, that everybody else puts an emphasis on, all those other things that people serve instead of God, God's going to provide you just what you need. Now, putting God first and seeking him those things, there are certain things that are going to take a back seat that we're not used to taking a back seat. Our pleasures, our desires, our wants. But God's saying, you don't want to serve those. I mean, no one goes out to say, hey, I'm not going to serve God so I can spend time doing a hobby. They don't initially say that. But the desire starts happening, and there starts crosshairs because it begins to become muddied waters on what has highest priority in our life. And that's what he's saying here. Don't, and he uses the idea of food and raiment. And some people be out there, I don't care about raiment. They probably care about food. I know I care about food. I sometimes ask my wife, what are you planning for dinner? And she sometimes she tells me, sometimes she doesn't. Her favorite answer is chicken. She knows that I want to know what type of chicken so I can start getting my taste buds ready. She knows that, and she hasn't always figured it out. I'm thinking, why can't you figure it out? You know, I'm going to ask. So this chicken is the answer. I had chicken. I had chicken today for lunch. Chicken is one of my favorites, so it's okay. So people care about food. Now, is it something I think about all the time? No, it's not. Is it something that's gonna take me off my track of serving God? No, I've never missed church for a meal before. I've never missed church thinking about, I wonder what type of chicken my wife's cooking. Part of the reason why is because usually I'm the one preaching, so it's kind of hard to think about two different things. But and then there's raiment. You know, there's the idea of, it'd look nice, be nice to have this, nice to have that. You know, once again, there's nothing wrong with obviously having food. The Bible says we should be clothed, but there's not a priority there. We're supposed to trust God with our life, and if we can trust God with our soul to go to heaven instead of hell, we can trust him to provide our basic needs when we put him first. So are we putting him first is the question. When he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, that word seek ye is talking about to worship, to desire, to go about. It's my goal. It's my desire. It's my desire to get up and to further the kingdom of God, to do God's work above anything else. It's my desire to learn not what my friends say, not what my classmates say, not what the people at work says, or not what I perceive somebody else's opinion is going to be. I'm seeking after the righteousness of God. I'm not seeking after the righteousness of man. I'm seeking after the righteousness of God. Because, you know, with man, it's changed over those years. You know, what was right and acceptable back in the 1800s, today is scoffed at, thinking that it's too old-fashioned. In the 1900s, in 1950s, and I get all that. But if it was sin back then, it's still sin today. And we need to make sure that we don't grow with the times and the idea that we're not becoming like this world's righteousness. Because this world says it's okay for a boy to think he's a girl and a girl to think he's a boy. They think it's okay for a man to marry a woman, marry a man and a woman to marry a woman. I mean, but these are scripturally wrong things. And it is ungodly and it's wrong and it's something that we should not be after. We don't want to be like the world. Because you know what the world's going to be like? The things you despise today. If you keep on letting your church and your family get to continue to grow, the things that we knew were wrong 30 years ago, we start questioning, is it okay to do that today? Everything else that says it's okay, is that really that big of a deal? So I want to challenge you today, if you seek God first in your life, if you try to advance his kingdom and you seek to become the character of God and have the righteousness of God in your life, he says, I will take care of those things that you need and those things that you want if we seek him first. First things first. What are we seeking after? The Bible says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I said, Pastor, I'm not going to be happy living that life. I'm going to be miserable. I'm taking a back seat. My friends may not understand. My family may not understand. But that scripture is saying, if you will hunger and thirst after the right things and do the right things, you will be filled. God will give you and meet every need of your life, and he'll make you satisfied. You won't need what this world has to offer. You won't have to have the acceptance of the world because you've been pleasing the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pastor, that's too hard. It's because you're trying to please two different groups of people. You're trying to serve God, because no one's here on a Sunday night unless you are forced to come without at least having a desire to serve God. And you're trying to serve something else too at the same time. The Bible says it just doesn't work that way. You can't serve both. It's either one or the other. So this morning, as we talked about how God sometimes is patient with us and he's long-suffering with us and he's kind to us, he gives us some space because he wants us to repent. I think this is one of the things that say, hey, there are some things in my life that's first before God. It's the things I think about the most. It's the things that I spend the most time doing. It's the things that I get up in the morning desiring and having to have. But you can hunger and thirst after righteousness. You say, Pastor, how does that happen? It's by putting him first, seeking those things that please him. You ever try to please someone? You ever have that? In a few minutes, we're going to talk about the first love. And you fell in love with that person the first time, and you would do anything in the world for them. You began to try to seek out the things that they like or dislike, the things that they enjoy, the things that they wish you didn't do, and the things they enjoyed. And you try to please them. You seek after them. You try to learn of them. And you would do anything to try to help that individual. In a greater way, we have a God that's calling us, commanding us to love him. And he says, I want you to seek after those things that are going to further my kingdom. I want you to seek the things of God and his righteousness. And then he says, here's a great promise. All those things that everybody else is worrying about, all those things that everybody else in the world is clamoring about, he says, I'm going to give you everything you need. He says, I know you need those things. I know you need clothes. I know you need food. If you seek me first, you know what's going to happen? He says, I'm going to be able to add those things to you. I'm going to be able to give you those things. Then he says in verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So first things first. And the first point is seek ye first. You will be a servant to whatever you seek after. Whatever you make it your passion, you become a servant of that. And you go to Romans chapter 6, it talks about being a servant of righteousness or a servant of sin. We don't want to be that servant of sin, but we understand that surrender has to happen for us not to be serving something besides God. Second thing I want you to think about is going over to the first commandment. Go to Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12. Now, there's two different, that phrase, first commandment. There is the one about loving the Lord your God. And then the other one is honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We're not going to focus on that much, but we did want to throw that in there. There was a first commandment with promise. But here in Mark, it says what the first commandment is. Now, here's the challenge is, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. How do I seek that way? How do I search that way? How do I become a person that seeks after God's righteousness? And it's found here. Look what it says in Mark. Look what it says in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 31. Let me catch up with you there. Okay, it says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked them, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. So he gives the first commandment, and he says, hey, he said, if you want to know what the first commandment is, you need to learn how to love God the right way. If you love God with your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, then everything's, you're going to have a right relationship there. Now, that's between us and God. Then it says the second one is namely this, thou shalt love the Lord thy neighbor, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, take your Bible back to Matthew chapter 22. Similar question. He doesn't use the word first in it, so we chose not to look at this one first. But I want you to see the results. Matthew chapter 22, look what it says in verses 36 through 40. So if I put God's love, my love for God first, and I learn to treat our neighbor as I love myself, then look what it says will happen. 22 verses 36 through 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. He says, this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. Now, look what it says in verse number 40. On all these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So what does that mean? That means if you learn to love God, you put him first, your love for him first, and you learn to love man the way that God wants you to, it's going to take care of all the rest of the commandments. It's going to take care of all the rest of the law. And sometimes we're turning around, we're wondering, well, what should I do here? What should I do that? Is this right? Is that wrong? If we learn to love God, if we learn to put first things first, and we love him the way we're supposed to, and we love man the way that God wants us to, it will take care of all those other things. We're not gonna be serving two masters because we have a preeminence of love there. It will take a priority of loving God and loving others, but all the other commandments will fall in line. So if we will learn to do first things first and get our love of God correct and love him the way he desires for us to love him, then love others the way he asks us to, you know what's going to happen? Everything else is going to take care of itself. Same thing. If we learn to seek the Lord first, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he says, I can take care of all those other things if you'll learn to put your first things first. When it comes to, hey, what's right and what's wrong? Should I do this? Should I not do that? It comes to the point. If you learn to love him the way you should, and you learn to love man the way he asks, you know what's going to happen? It takes care of the rest of the commandments. All the law, all those things are hung upon those two commandments. If you could just keep those things first in your life, you know what's going to happen? You won't have an issue with dealing with that much sin in your life because you've got it taken care of. Next thing I want you to think about is first love. Go ahead and take your Bible to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2, there's discussed here a church. It's the church of Ephesus. This morning we looked at the church of Thyatira for a few minutes. In Revelation chapter number 2, we see here the church of Ephesus was what on the outside looked like it was a really good church. Had a lot of great things going on. Had a lot of things that were positive. We probably wouldn't mind being a part of a church like this. It's busy. It serves. It does all types of things. Revelation chapter number 2, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. So we see he's commending. He says, I see all the work you do. I see all the labor you do. I see the patience that you have. He says, I see where you're saying that you're not going to put up with evil. The difference between Thyatira and them, they were good with the charity or love, but they were putting up with the evil. And then it said, and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. He's giving some commending there. He says, look, you're doing all these things right. But then he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. He said, you left the reason why you do these things. You have that first love. And speaking of the love that he used to have for Christ, the love they used to have for God. Remember the day you got saved? I don't know about you, but there was a rejoicing in my heart. I remember, and once again, I told you this morning a little bit about the story. I remember hearing a message about one thing. But if you go back and get the old cassette tape that had the date on it, it was a whole different message. It was about the second coming of Christ. But I remember a different message. I went forward. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I needed Christ. I knew that if I died, I thought if I died that second, I thought I was going to die that second unless I got, there was conviction that was in my heart. And I came forward and I asked Christ to save me. There was a lady that was there. She asked if I wanted help. And I said, I didn't need any help because I knew what I was doing. And she was there. And I asked the Lord to save me. She still went over a couple things after we got done. And I'm thankful for that, that someone was there to help encourage me. But there's a love that we have for God when we realize that we're sinners and on our way to hell. And he shows that we are sinners, that we're in need of a Savior. We accept him as our personal Savior. We ask him to save us from our sins. You know what the reality is? There is a love that we have for him. But sometimes that wanes. Sometimes that grows cold. And that's what's happened here. They've gotten so busy in all their service. They got so busy doing this and so busy doing that. They lost or they left their first love. God was still right where he was. But the church itself wasn't serving for the right reasons. He says, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And he says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. He says, now go back to that moment when you used to love me with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, when you were so thankful and grateful that you were just on your way to heaven and that your sins had been forgiven and that you were a child of God. And there was that first love, that passion that you had for him. And he says, now remember that. And then he continues on. Therefore, whence thou art fallen, and repent. He said, change your ways. See where you're at right now. See that you don't love me the way you should. See me that you don't love me the way you used to. He says, go back and do the first works. The love, the works that you did because you loved him so much. And he says, I will come unto thee quickly. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. He said, look, you need to get this right. You need to get this love thing right. You need to make sure that I'm your first love, because if not, I'm going to remove you. It's a church that almost died. It's a church that almost was gone because of the fact they had the wrong love. So if we'll get our first things first, if we'll learn to seek him first, if we'll learn to also love him, the first commandment first, and remember that first love. He says, remember where you fell from. Remember the things that you used to be passionate. Do you love God as much as you did at some point in your life? Was there a day and time in your life that you loved the Lord more than you do right now? Remember that. Ask God to help you love him more. Seek him first. Remember the commandment that's given and go after him. Next thing is the first fruit. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. What the scripture is talking about there is, you know, we need to make sure we give God our best, the first. And we talk about tithe, we talk about missions, and I'm excited about the faith promise. I'm excited that God worked in people's hearts and they responded by committing to do something. And I don't care about a number. It's always nice to reach your goal. My desire is that everybody do exactly what the Lord wants them to do when it comes to faith promise missions. And I don't care if you're 95 or you're 5, you can have a part in it if you let God speak to your heart. I think it's great when you see children on their writing saying, hey, the Lord's spoken to my heart and I want to give X for the year or X number for the week or for the month. And you say, I don't want to put that pressure on my child. Let God speak to their hearts. Talk to them and encourage them. But it's your first fruits. And I do believe tithing. I do believe that tithing is scriptural. I believe it's tithing the first fruits. I believe it's tithing your gross income, not just your net income. Those are things that I think are scripturally sound. And it says in Genesis 4:4, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. It was the first things. I think those things are scriptural. If somebody wants, I used to manage an overnight shift of the warehouse at the Christian bookstore, and later on became the manager of the warehouse. And there was guys there from all types. It was a Christian bookstore, so they had all different denominations and all different type of people believing. They all believed in Christ, but it wasn't like some of the cults, but they were different denominations that were there. And we had lots of discussions. And that's one discussion that's there. It says, is tithing is really scripture or not? And I can show you different things that I believe that it shows. And it was before the law. Abraham gave tithes before the law ever happened. Some people say, well, it's no longer under the law. You see in the New Testament, on the first day of the week, they brought in their tithes and their offerings. And I think our church does well at that. I think our church has been blessed because of the fact that they've been faithful with that. And I'm good with that. But I'm telling you that if we learn to seek him first and follow those commandments and we love him the way we should, no one's going to get upset when you talk about money. No one's going to get upset when you say, hey, love God with a greater passion because God's filled my heart already and I'm trusting him with my life and I'm giving what he has asked me to give. I'm doing what he's asked me to do. And I praise the Lord for the fact that he is good to us and he has blessed us and we have been financially sound for a number of years. But that is no exception to the fact that we need the power of God in our life. I'd rather have the power of God on a church than have a lot of financial success. The church isn't here for financial success. Once again, if you're living for the Lord, then he's going to take care of it. Just like you said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But I desire that God's power be on us. I desire God to have people saved and baptized and people grow and people be called into a ministry, people discipled, people surrendering. We need to learn how to seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm not asking for financial problems in the future. No, of course not. But what I'm asking and seeking after is not how to grow our faith promise by having a fundraiser or grow our tithes and offerings by spending a month talking about it. That's not what the Lord wants. I want to seek him first. I want to seek his kingdom. Yes, some of that comes with finances. I get that. But I want to seek after his righteousness. So I encourage you, put the first things first. The first thing is learn how to seek after him. Remember what the first commandment is, and then also consider your first love. Remember how much you used to love him. Do you love him that way today? If not, there's something we need to remember and that we need to repent of. We need to go back to where we used to love him. We used to do those first works. And I can imagine if our heart was sold for the Lord and we were loving the Lord, we were probably reading our Bible more often. We were probably meditating on the scriptures. We were probably praying more. We were probably worshiping more. We were probably doing more because our heart was saturated with love for him. First things first. And I believe that it includes our first fruits too. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. I am thankful to have a church that seems to be faithful for the size of church we are with our giving. And I think part of the reason why the Lord has blessed our church over the years is because of the fact we've been faithful with our missions. I think he loves missions and missionaries. I think they've been faithful and God's used us as a church family, not me individually, us as a church family to give. It's not one person. It's not just one person. God can bless even the smallest amounts. But it should be our first. It should be our best. So before you start working on wiring, you want to go shut off the current, right? Yeah. Before you start trying to do things for the Lord, we need to make sure that we're seeking him first. Before we start trying to figure out how to become better at this or better at that or be passionate about these things, we need to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The first commandment and our first love and our first fruit. All those things together. Make sure you keep the first things first. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I'm thinking about this word first, and it reminds me of how often I fail. I like to say that's all I do is seek the kingdom of God first. But there's many temptations to try to serve something else. There's so many different desires out there today. There's money, there's pleasure, there's notoriety. Lord, help us understand as Christians and believers, we can't serve two things. Let's be honest with ourselves. And if we're not seeking the Lord first, we're serving something besides him. We like to think that we can do both. We like to think it's okay. We like to think, but like we heard this morning, You're just giving us a little bit of space until we get things right. Lord, help us to be passionate. Like we saw the Syrophoenician woman today, like we heard from Bartimaeus. Help us understand what David says. You don't want that sacrifice that's done by someone that's not right with you. You want a contrite and broken spirit and heart. Lord, help us to surrender tonight. It's going to be a daily surrender. It might need to be an hourly surrender. But Lord, help us to see and just simply live according to your law and your word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Help us to follow that first commandment. Lord, everything else take care of itself if we're loving you the right way and loving man as you say. Lord, help us to remember what that first love was like, the love we had for you. Remind us of that passion. That day we were willing to do anything you asked us to do because you were our Savior. God, remind us of that. Help us to repent where we've fallen away. Lord, help us to revive those fires in our heart once again. Lord, help us to honor you with our first fruits. Help us not to put you on the back shelf. Help us not to give what's left over. But when we're trusting you with our life, help us to give what you've asked us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.